विं नमो अर्हन्तानम् ॐ विं नमो सिद्धानम् ॐ विं नमो आयेरियानम् ॐ विं नमो परम पूज्य गुरुदेव के चरणों में सभक्ति नमन. There are two students from FIU, so should I speak in Hindi or in English? Okay. So, in our class we are discussing about Jainism. So, Maya and the other students, they know about it. We are discussing one particular scripture, which is known as Bhagavati Sutra, in which you can find so many philosophical, scientific theories. And we have been discussing about some questions, and we have found that there are four forms of life. The first is Narak, hellish beings. So we take birth either in hell or in heaven, or as animal or other living beings, or as a human beings. So there are four forms of life in the world in which every living being is taking birth. So here there are certain questions have been raised regarding all the different forms of life. So the first question, as we were discussing about it, that there are hellish beings in the world also. People think that hell and heaven are not there. It is only in our world. Whatever sufferings we are getting, that is the part of our hellish life, and whatever pleasures and comforts we are getting, that is the part of our heavenly life. But that is not true. Whatever sufferings we are getting in as a human, that those sufferings belong to human life only. The sufferings which someone gets in hell, that is different type of sufferings which are not available as a human being or on the earth on which we are living. So they are facing so many, they are getting so many different types of sufferings which are available only in hellish lanes and not human, on human lanes. So they are more terrible, more painful, more horrible. So that is not available on the earth or human, in human life, but it is there. And it is asked that what kind of life the hellish beings are living actually. So there are certain questions which have been raised before Mahavir, and Mahavir has answered to Gautam and other disciples. So the first question was raised is that how long hellish beings live in the hells. So there are total seven hells. We have discussed in the class, there are total seven hells, and each hell has particular time. If somebody goes to hells, different hells, they have different lattice parts. So minimum they live 10,000 years. If somebody takes birth in hell, minimum he has to live there for 10,000 years. And maximum 33 sagaropam. So sagar is a very, very long unit of time. It is the biggest unit, we can say, in the sense. And it is uncountable. There are two types of time concept. One is countable, for which we have certain digits. But there is certain time which are not countable, they are beyond the digits which we have and which we know. So that's why those sarvapam is a time which is known as uncountable time period. It is very long time. So they may take birth for 33 sagas, that is the maximum time period for the lifespan of hellish beings. Now it is the second question is that what kind of breathing, how long, since we are teaching one course, meditation and spiritual development, in which we talk of breathing system also. How long we breath we take depends on our lifespan. So lifespan and breathing process are interconnected. If you are taking very short breathing, lifespan can finish before the time. If you are taking long breathing, you can prolong your life. So there are certain yogis, meditators, even today in Himalayas, you will find that they are living for last 250 or 300 years. So it is not generally acceptable or beyond the understanding or imagination, but it is true that our hearts, our lungs have certain time period. They can work for 250 years or sometimes 300 years. If we use properly, if we do not put anything which is wrong to our organs of our body, then they can survive for long period, and that's why we can also prolong our lifestyle, life. So according to Mahavir, what happens, hellish beings, they are taking birth. But since their lifespan is so long, so they are not taking breath in every second or minutes. After few minutes or few hours, they are taking the breath. And the time is fixed proportionately, that if somebody has the lifespan of 1 hour, then he will take breath once in 15 days. This is the calculation. Is it clear? If somebody has the lifespan of 1 hour, then he will take breath in 15 days. Once in the 15 days. Normally we are taking breath 15 to 70 in a minute. That is the scientific calculation of our breathing process. But if somebody is having the lifespan of 1 hour, then he will take once in a 15 days. He is not permitted before taking a breath before the time, because that is the fixed with the lifespan. So this is the science behind the lifespan and breathing process when you are having very very long life. So if they are living maximum for 33 sagas, then how long they will take the, how, after which time they will take the breath? Huh? 15 days, so you can, more than after 6 months. So that is the way of taking the breath in such a life span, which is very long. Next, the question was raised that the hellish beings, they are taking food. What kind of food they are taking? So they have physical body, that's why they feel hunger also. And they have karmic body and tejas bioelectrical body. We have discussed the 5 types of bodies. Each and every living being who are in any form of life, except the liberated souls who have transcended this particular way of living, which we are living, they have transcended this worldly existence. So they have no body, that's why they don't need any kind of food. But we are having physical body, we have karmic body, we have bioelectrical body, vital body inside the body. And all these bodies need constantly food or some kind of matter so that that matter can support these bodies for a long time. Is it clear? So, the hellish beings, they are also taking food. And they are taking food for the physical body, though they are so much hungry, they don't get that kind of thing which we are getting here. Whenever they feel hunger, they are given sometimes the blood, that kind of things for eating. If they go to trees, those trees are not giving fruits to them, but they are giving the pains to them. If the leaves fall down on their body, it cuts like the sword has cut their body parts. So they are so much hungry, but they don't get food there, but they get just blood or this kind of malicious things for eating. And a karmic body, for karmic and bioelectric body, they are also getting all the time the matter which is related to these two bodies. So in this way they are taking, they are getting such kind of a material for sustaining their physical bodies in the hellish life. Next is what kind of karmas or things, matter they are getting all the times for the karmic body and the vital body especially. So they are saying that we are all the times we are binding 7 to 8 types of karmas. Is it okay? In every what we say moment, we are getting 7 to 8 types of karmas. Why 7 to 8 types? Sometimes we are getting 7 types of karmas and sometimes we are getting 8 types of karmas. So why it is so? Yes. Because life span is fixed or determined only once in a life. Okay? And not after death or before death. So the time for life span is fixed. It is after passing 2/3 of your life span. The life span for next, for your next destination can be fixed after 2/3 of passing life span, after passing the life span of the present life. Okay, so that time is fixed for life span only, but before and after you get all the time 7 types of karmic material or karmic bondage. So that is the rule. According to Mahavir, hellish beings are also binding all the times the different types of karmas, 8 types of karmas and or 7 types of karmas. But whenever they get karmas, there is one rule that what kind of, from where they get these karmic matter. So there is one rule that wherever your soul is existing, in which space your soul is existing, in the same space, if there is karmic matter, that karmic matter only attaches to the soul and not the karmic matter which is beyond your space where your soul is existing. So this is one of the rule of karmic bondage, that we always bind the karmas which are very close to our soul and not very far from our soul. Suppose I am seated here, those karmic particles which are just near to, very close to me in this particular area, that karmic matter only attaches to my soul but not far from. So this is the one rule. And it is said that what kind of karmas they enjoy? They enjoy only those karmas which are attached to their soul and not which are not attached to them. Is it clear? So there are so many karmic energy which is spread throughout the space. The whole space is full of such kind of karmic energy. But karmic energy which is attached to our soul, we can enjoy only those karmic matter and not those which are not attached to us or which are very far, with which we have no relations, no contact, no. And next thing is that we enjoy the karmas in different forms. It may be natural, it may be by effort. So sometimes we put special effort to enjoy the karmas before the time. So that is called udirna. And if the karmas come into action by nature, by their own way, then it is called udaya. The natural process of karmic energy to come into action is called udaya. And if we put a special effort to enjoy the karma before the time, then it is called udirna. Clear? So this kind of efforts are done at the level of hellish beings too and human beings too. Because they are getting so much pain, they are also creating such kind of a situation, remaining in the hell, that they enjoy the karma before the time sometimes. Okay? So this kind of things happen with them. And now one thing is said that whenever we separate karmas, we destroy the karmas by our special effort or by natural process. So whenever we destroy the karmas, what type of karmas we destroy? So it is said that those karmas which have been separated by your effort or by natural process, only those karmas are destroyed and not all the karmas. Clear? So these are the different questions have been which have been raised before Mahavir, Gautam Gandhar, and he answered that how hellish beings are living in hell. There is another question that we are performing action all the time. We are not seated without doing anything at any moment. Even in dream we think of something which is going on all the time in our mind before or after what we want to do. So it is said that we are doing every moment something. So this kind of action is causing some kind of karmic bondage. What is the main cause of karmic bondage? There are five main causes. The first cause is, we say, mithyatva. Mithyatva means when we don't know about our own original self and think other things as the self, that is the mithyatva. And because of the ignorance of the genuine self, we bind so many different types of karmas because of the misconceptions or misunderstanding about the reality, about our own self. So this is the first cause of karmic bondage. The second cause is desires, avirati. So we have so many worldly desires. That is also main cause of our karmic bondage. We have all the time some kind of desires. We want to fulfill them. And sometimes if they are not fulfilled in a proper way, we take some wrong action to fulfill our actions. So this is the second cause, which is main cause of our karmic bondage. The third reason for cause for karmic bondage is negligence in the sense we have no interest in spiritual things. We only want to enjoy the worldly things, material. We are always after material comforts and pleasures. We don't think of spiritual growth. So that kind of negligence also leads you to engage in worldly things, and thereby you find so many different karmas. So negligence is also very much a big cause of our karmic bondage. The fourth cause is passions, anger, ego, deceit and greed. These are four basic passions which are causing different types of karmic bondage. So these are also the main cause of karmic bondage. And most of the people, they are engaged either sometimes in ego, sometimes in anger, sometimes in greed. They have some different types of attachments towards the things, position, name, fame and material things. So they are binding all the times of different types of karmic energy or karmic bondage. So this is the fourth main cause. And the fifth one is our mental, physical and verbal activities. So that is the yoga. We say yoga. Today yoga is used in the sense of meditation or yoga, physical exercise which is done for fitness or happiness. But this is a yoga in Jain tradition is a very technical term and it is used for the mental, physical and verbal activities, which is the main cause of karmic bondage. So these are the five main causes. People have no anger, no deceit, nothing else, but they are always engaged in something. They are performing some act. They are not sitting silently without doing anything. So action also leads to karmic bondage. And that's why Jainism teaches about deliberate non-action. You have to sit silently without doing anything for the time being. 48 minutes samay is good for us. If we can do that, we can disconnect from all worldly activities for the time being and can focus on our own spiritual growth, can be in silence for the time being. So silence is also required to stop the karmic bondage. If we are all the time engaged in something, some activities, worldly things especially, then we all the time binding some kind of karmic energies. So that these are the main five causes. Here Bhagavan Mahavir was asked regarding some questions regarding the karmic bondage, or especially he was asked that all the jivas, all the living beings, are they causing some kind of karmic bondage and how they are binding these karmic bondages? So he answered that there are certain living beings who are binding the karmic bondage and there are certain living beings who are not binding the karmic bondages. So what are those living beings who are not binding the karmic? The liberated souls. Any other souls? Arihant. They have four karmas, but whether they are binding the karmas or not, new karmas. Okay. So we have seen that one of the five main causes is mental, physical and verbal activities. So Arhat also performs activities. They preach, they give sermons to the people, they walk from one village to another, they sit, they stand, they go from one place to another. So this kind of physical, verbal activities are also going in them. They don't think much about anything because they can see everything clearly and distinctly without taking the help of mind and senses. So they need not to think of anything, but sometimes they are asked questions by even the gods of the heavens. The gods are in heaven, they are not on the earth. But they have some questions and they send their questions at mental level to the Arhats. And Arhats give answers them at mental level. Okay? So generally for knowledge purpose they don't use the mind, but for answering they use their mind too. So they are also engaged in physical, mental and verbal activities and that's why they are also binding the karmas. But the specialty of the binding of the karmas by the Arhat is that they are binding iryapatik karma. So iryapatik karma are always meritorious karmas and not demeritorious. They are always punyarupa and not paparupa. Even some creature is killed by their states, even though they don't bind the meritorious karmas because of the violence of some living being by them. They don't kill anybody, they don't think of it, they are completely awakened and aware from within that they should not commit any kind of a violence, even though it may be the destiny of that particular living being or microbe or mosquito that he suddenly comes in this or this under the stage of their fingers when they are walking. So if the mosquito is killed by their stage, what happens? They don't bind the meritorious karma because they are awakened. They are completely compassionate. But it is destiny of that particular microbe or mosquito who comes suddenly under their stage, their leg, foot. Is it clear? So they don't bind any kind of demeritorious karmas, they always bind meritorious karmas. But now I hear what was asked to Mahavir is in the context of demeritorious karmas, especially. So Mahavir says that there are two types of living beings. One is liberated and other one is worldly. Worldly living beings, among the worldly living beings, there are again two types of human beings. One is ascetic and other one is the householder. Among the ascetics, there are again two types of ascetics. The one ascetic who is very aware from within. They are very alert. They don't commit any kind of mistake. So they are known as apramatta sanyat. And there are certain ascetics who are not aware of all the time. They commit sometimes mistake, and that's why they are known as pramatta sanyat. So here we have to understand that the liberated souls, they don't bind karmas. They are always free from karmic bondage. But so far as the human beings or other worldly living beings are concerned, those who are not ascetic, those who have not taken any kind of vows, any restriction in their life, they are committing violence, they are binding the karmic energy all the time for themselves. They are inspiring others to commit violence and other things. So they are also committing violence because of the inspiration to others or by motivating by others. And if they are appreciating such kind of activities, then they are binding that kind of karmas too. So they are engaged in the karmic bondage. But so far as the ascetics are concerned, those who are very aware from within, alert from within, they are not committing any kind of mistakes or any kind of violence, then they are not binding any demeritorious karma. But those ascetics who are committing violence, they are doing some mistakes or breaking some rules because of negligence, because of some pressure of emotions or some other reasons, so they are binding karmic bondage too. Okay? So it is not that all the ascetics are also free from the karmic bondage. They can also commit some mischief. They can be aggressive. They can be under the pressure of negative emotions, and they may, because of that, they may bind the karmas. So it is clear? So these are the different questions which have been asked to Mahavir about the karma. Hope I have discussed about the 10 states of the karma, that avasthaya karma ki. So everybody knows about it. Nothing is new. There are 8 types of states of karma. According to Jainism, karma are not almighty like God, as the Semitic religions understand the concept of God. God cannot be challenged. God cannot change His rule. What He wants, it will be as it is. But according to Jainism, karmas are not almighty God. We can change the karmas. And that's why we have to understand what kind of karmas we can change, how we can change. So there are eight types, 10 states of karmic bondage. The first state is that whenever we perform any action, we bind some kind of karmas. Is it okay? Whether we perform good action or whether we perform bad action. If we are performing bad action, then we are leading demeritorious karma. And if we are performing good actions, then we are leading meritorious karmas, which are very good, helpful to you to live in this mundane life with all comforts, pleasures. So these two types of karmic energies are entering every minute or every moment in every worldly soul. So as soon as the karmic energy comes to our soul, it gets first bound with the soul, and that's why this is the first state, which is called bondage, attachment of the karmas to the soul. This is the first state. The second state is satta. As soon as we get the karmas, they do not come into action. They take some time for coming into action. So as till they come into action, they remain dormant in our soul. Without affecting our existence, they remain attached to our soul. So that state is called satta. They are in existence but not in action. Since this is the second state. The third state is udai. After finishing their time of ripening, they come into action. So as you sow the seed, it doesn't come out or doesn't sprout at the same moment, but it takes some time for sprouting. So similarly, the karmas also take some time for sprouting, for giving their effects. So that when they start giving effects, that state is called udaya. And that effect can be through natural process and it can be through special effort. For example, we do meditation or we do finance. So what we are doing, we are bringing the karmas into action before the time by performing this kind of hard finances or meditation or some kind of other spiritual hard practices. So we are bringing the karmas into action before the time, and we want to finish them before the time so that we can liberate. If we wait for their ripening in natural process, we may continue many, many times in this world. So if we want to liberate ourselves before the time, then it is necessary that we have to make a special effort to destroy the karmas before the time. Okay? So this is the fourth stage, which is called Udirana. So what are the four? The first is bondage. The second is satta, existence. The third is udai, rising. The fourth is udirana, rising with a special effort. So that is the udirana, fourth stage. And then udvartan. Udvartan means whenever we bind the karmas, it always takes place at four levels. The first is nature, prakriti bandh, in which the nature of the karmas are fixed, and it's fixed depending on our action which we are performing. Is it clear? So nature of the karmas is fixed according to our action. This is first level. Second, the time is also fixed. Whenever you get bondage of any karma, the time is also fixed that how long this karma will be with your soul. So time will also be determined at the time of bondage. So that is called sthiti bandh. The third is anubhav bandh. It means intensity will also be fixed. How much and in what form or in what way the karma will affect your soul. So that is the anubhav bandh. And the last one is how much quantity you are gaining in the bondage. So that is called Pradeshvara. So when Udvartana, when we are talking of Udvartana, or the next step is Apavartana, so it means we are reducing the duration and the intensity of the karmas which are attached. Okay, so we can reduce the intensity, we can reduce the time also of the karmic bondage. Here you have the power to reduce the time, to reduce the effect, to change the effect of the karmas, to change the time of the karmas which you have bounded. So this is Udvartan. When we increase the time, this is called Udvartan. When we decrease or reduce the time, then it is called Apavartan. So it is possible. Sometimes what happens, we become angry with some people and we say something abusive to them, we hurt them sometimes, or sometimes people kill the person who is angry to him or her. So if we have bound the karma because of the killing, because of the anger, because of the ego or deceit, etc. But after some time, as soon as the anger subsides, we feel that we have done something wrong. We should not do this kind of thing. Whatever behavior may be of someone, but we have to be always in calm, peace, and we have to forgive. So that kind of feeling comes after doing anger. That feeling helps to reduce the time and the intensity of the karmas which you have bound. So this is the benefit of repenting after action. Is it clear? Anubhav? Yes. Okay, so intensity. Okay. Suppose you have done something wrong and because of that you have got some kind of karmas, that will affect adversely and it can be more adversely, more harmful for you. So the intensity of more or less depends on the action you have performed, with what kind of intention you are having at the time of performance. Suppose I am so much greedy, so much cruel, and because of my greed, because of my cruelty, I am killing someone, innocent people. The intensity, the intention behind the action will determine the intensity of the karmic bondage. That how much it will affect you. So the intensity will be determined because of your emotions, because of your intentions. People sometimes say that I had nothing wrong in my mind, or this I have said this thing. Okay, it is good. If you had nothing in your mind, but your words were not right, and they have hurted some people, you will get the karmic bondage. Yes.
You also enjoy it.
Yeah. Sometimes we enjoy the action.
Yeah.
And it happened in the case of the King Shreli, who will be the first Tirthankar in the coming era. He was a king. He went for hunting in the forest. He shot the arrow, and that arrow killed two living beings, the deer, male deer or female deer? Okay, so female deer and her child together. And after shooting the arrow, what he felt that,
how much strength
I have, or how much good skill I have for shooting the arrow. How I could kill these two living beings together by one arrow. So that kind of proud has influenced the result of the karma, and he has to be in the head. It is amazing that who will be the first entrainer is now in hell. If we enjoy the karmas or the actions, though they are wrong, even though we are thinking that no, I have to do this, he was the wrong guy and I cannot do anything other, whatever I have done is wrong, not wrong, it is right, then it intensifies your intensity of the karmic bondage. Okay, and if you repent, then it may decrease the duration and the effect of the karmas. And whatever is remain, you can take atonement and get finished. So this is what we say Udayana, Udvartan and Apvartan. The next two stage is Nidhartha and Nikashana. So Nidhartha means you cannot change, there is one more stage which is called Sankraman, exchange. So there are 8 types of karmas, and all the 8 types of karmas have 142 almost subtypes. Each karma has different subtypes. So the main karmas cannot be exchanged with each other, but their subtypes can be changed with each other. Okay? Suppose you have knowledge covering karmas, and especially the knowledge of, covering karmas which is affecting your sensory knowledge, you can convert into it articulate knowledge, or articulate knowledge can be converted the covering karmic bondage of the what we say the main cause karmic bondage of related to articulate karmas can be converted into the sensory knowledge covering karmas. So the karma, the subtypes can be exchanged with each other, but the main types cannot be changed. And the special, the lifespan karmas, they have 4 types of lifespan karmas related to hellish being or heavenly being or human beings or animal beings. They can also not be exchanged with each other. When Shrenik was told by Mahavir that he will go to hell after this life, then he has tried his best to change the lifespan. And he made all the efforts, suggested by Mahavir, but he couldn't change. Once the lifespan is fixed, it cannot be changed. Okay? So this is the rule that lifespans, the subtypes of lifespan, if somebody wants to be human instead of hellish being, is not possible. If the destiny is fixed that he has to take birth in hell, then he has to go to hell. After he can come to human life. But remaining, after fixing, somebody wants to change, it is not possible. So you cannot convert human life into hellish life or hellish life into human life. You have to live there for the time being which is already fixed. Some people say that there are certain people who die in accidents. So what happens to their lifespan? Suppose they have taken birth in this particular human life for 90 years, but they have died in 40 years because of some accident. So what happens to 50 years which have still due? Huh? Which are still due? Huh? That is the what we say, godly life, and you cannot change your human life span into any other forms of life. Okay, so that is, Vyantas come under the categories of gods. So that is the godly life. Human life cannot take the birth or cannot be completed in remaining in godly life. You have to finish your human life span here remaining as human and not being as God.
So what happens?
So what happens in the last moment of your accident, you consume all the human lifespan karmas
in
very short time. And the example is even that you can pick dry grass. You can put all the 100 pieces of the grass in a bundle and can fire it. What happens? The whole bundle will burn within a few seconds or few minutes. But if you try to fire one, then how much time it will take?
Long time.
So if life is passing through natural process, then it will take time and you have to continue for 90 years. But if it is not the case, in accidental case, you have to consume with very speed all the 50 years and finish here, and then you can depart from here. So sometimes it happens that some people die on the spot in the same moment of the accident, and some people take so many days after they die because their life span is not yet finished. Though severe accident is the same accident is with death fellow also, but life span is still due. So he has to finish here and then he can depart from here. Okay.
Yes.
We don't suggest these things because human life is very precious, no?
What was the question?
She is asking that it will be better to finish within few seconds the whole life span instead of prolonging up to 90 and do all the other karmas. Yeah, that is true. Some of the karmas may be consumed, mainly life span karmas. What happens? Why we have to die? Okay. So, see, life is a soul is eternal. See, you have to take birth somewhere else. If you are not interested to live here in human life, then you have to live somewhere else in some other forms of life. And you know the pains of other forms of life. Humans are in comfort; they can do what they want. But other forms of life are under the natural laws. They cannot do anything and everything what humans can do. And if you have got the life, after all you have to live somewhere, in any corner or in any form of life. So why you are losing this precious human life in which you can do many more things? For your spiritual growth you have to think of it. Why you are thinking of finishing life instead of thinking your spiritual growth as a human being,
So maybe we call it accident, but it was destined to happen. that soul's life was ready to be transformed, rather than calling it a God done factor.
Okay, this is also a good thing. In some cases, what happens, there are two types of life span. One is called Sopakram, other one is called Nirupakram. So it is always predestined in our life span that if you have shown your hands to palms to any astrologers, they will say that there are two ghats or three ghats or four ghats. Is it not? They already say to you that there were two accidental cases in your hands. So it means your life span is Sopakram. It may finish any time if it gets that kind of accident. Is it clear? So it is also fixed to this life span. But somebody has such kind of life span that they may go through severe accidents, but the life span will not finish before the time. Okay? Mahavir, all the Tirthankars, they get also very severe accidents sometimes. But their life span doesn't finish before the time. If it is fixed 72 years, Mahavir had to live for 72 years. In spite of getting 20 Marnantikas in a night by Sangamdev. Is it clear? But he couldn't finish his life before the time. It is not possible. So in the case of Tirthankars, their life is always Nirupakram. It can never be finished by any accident. Whatever accident may be with them. it will, that life in mind will always continue. And it happens, some examples we have to see if there is a, what you say, a volcano or some storm or some calamities. Some one child of 6 months, he is still surviving while the whole city is finished. So it means the lifespan of that child is not accidental. It is without accidents. Accidents may be with him, but he will survive. So that kind of lifespan some people have. So most of us might be having that kind of lifespan, but some cases may be that they are having the lifespan with some accidents. So if accidents happen, the lifespan will be finished. And it can also be in some cases that their lifespan is such that it will finish by some accident. Okay, so that is also true. So that is already written in their destiny. Okay. So that may be natural, that may be accidental. Yes.
The question is, you know, the people say that the person dies, but they have some wishes left for God, so they become both. Where are they?
Okay. Okay. So there are 10 main reasons for finishing time before the time. So that is called Akal Mrityu. In Sthana Sutra, all the four, 10 reasons have been discussed. So there may be emotional pressures. Those people who are in love of each other, and sometimes they don't get their lover, so they suicide in such cases. So this is the emotional pressure. Because of that, somebody can die before the time. Or some accidents, they can die before the time. So what happens? There is a rule for lifespan that after 2/3 of your lifespan, the next destiny will be fixed. But if somebody is dying before destination, destiny time, then he may go in casualty to that state of bhoot, pret, and what we say, witches. So, yeah. So, the ghost life, okay? So, because this is the accidental case, and the time was not fixed, the destiny was not fixed, so now where he has to go? So, in casualty, they have to go to ghost life, okay? Sorry? Yeah, that is a great problem to us. Mahavir in Uttaradhyam Sutra say to Gautam that Gautam, please be aware in every moment. You don't know about your life is found when it will be finished. Gautam was going to liberate actually. He should not be worried about it. But anyhow, Mahavir said to him that be aware at every moment, because you don't know which moment is that moment for fixing your next destiny. So be clear. Yeah.
I can tell about my 2/3 that I'm already past, so I'm
But we have to see how much time you were having actually. You don't know whether you will survive for 100 years or more than 100 years when 2/3 bhag is finished.
Educated, yes.
Okay.
I'm 65 and yeah, my 2/3 is gone now, so I don't know where I'm going, but it's fixed.
Yeah, it is fixed. Yeah, it must be fixed. Okay. Okay, now.
The state of the karma, finding of the karma and reaching of the karma, can happen the same lifespan or it has to be different lifespan?
Okay, it is a very good question. So what happens, it depends on the intensity of your emotions when you are performing the action. If you are having more intensity, more bad emotions, then these karmas may take lives to come into action. But if you are doing, performing anything just because it is your duty, because it is necessity, because you are because of some compulsions, and you have no any bad emotions, negative emotions, when you are performing, just you are doing your duties and responsibilities, so might be some karmas, they come into this, in the same life. Okay? So it depends on the duration of the karmic bondage.
Both bad and good karmas.
Both. So most of the people, they get good results in this life because they have lived very good life, they have done something good for themselves, for others too. So they get results in the very same life. But it depends on the intensity of your emotions or intentions, right or wrong, intensity and duration. And both are fixed because of your emotions. What kind of emotions you are having behind performing the action? So most of the people, they think that just they are doing their duties or responsibilities. They have nothing in the mind. Those who are terrorists, they are planning for killing so many thousand people. So they have so much cruelty inside. They may have to go to hell or some for longer period.
Another way to understand karma.
Yes.
We have to understand compensation.
Compassion, yes. So it is necessary that we have to be very compassionate, very alert, try to do anything legally, not illegally. So be honest in our action, then it will not affect adversely to our existence, because we have necessities and we are doing without any bad intention or bad emotions, then it will not harm very much. So there are two types of karma, one is dalik karma and other one is nikanchit karma. So if you have no bad intention or bad emotions behind the action, or neither bad action in that sense that we are not committing any kind of violence or killing someone, but we are just performing our day-to-day lives, activities or things. So dalik karma means that they have no very long duration, they may come into action in the same life. But those karmas which are nikarshit or intense, they may take very, very long time sometimes. Okay? So the time is over, I think. Yes?
Yeah. There are five karmic bondages that you were mentioning.
Five main causes.
Right.
Yes.
And what I heard, the first one you said was the Vidyapa.
Yes.
The second was
Avirati.
Mm-hmm. The third you mentioned
Pramad. Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. And fourth Kasha.
Yes.
But I heard that the third one is the Kasha. The way the ascending in a order from 1 to 14 stage.
Okay. So there is nothing. These are the simple laws. Order is not important anymore. Okay, but if you think that can also be accepted. In Bhagavad Sutra, when Mahavir was asked that how the jivas are binding the karmas, when he is mentioning two causes, one is negligence, other one is activities. Okay, so he is not mentioning even the kashaya. So yeah, order in sometimes in some text it is the order which you are studying, and sometimes in Sridharma traditions, especially in the text of Tatvagyan, mainly these are the main things. Okay. So it is not a very big thing. Order matter. You can accept that order according to Manasthan. That is also true.
And a guy is a butcher.
Sorry?
A person is a butcher. So he is killing animals every day.
Yes.
But he doesn't know our philosophy.
Okay.
But he hasn't learned anything. He was brought up in such a way. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know.
Okay.
He has to feed his family.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's his business.
Okay.
What about him?
Okay, so ignorance is the biggest cause of something doing wrong.
But he doesn't know anything about religion. He doesn't know anything about Jainism. So, he doesn't know anything about violence, non-violence. He doesn't know that. He just performing.
So the first
we know that.
It is
true. He doesn't have any idea.
But see, I don't know the rules, traffic rules of, just I'm telling, I'm answering to you. I have come here from India, is it not? I don't know the rules and regulations of US. Sometimes I break the rules, but the government will not give the penalty to me.
No,
okay, so ignorance is also a kind of biggest, what we say, crime. Okay, so be, otherwise there is no meaning to give the knowledge to the people. He should know why he is performing, what kind of action he is performing, how it will affect his own existence. So knowledge should be taken from someone. So ignorance is the, and that ignorance, the first is mithyatva. So mithyatva comes with this kind of ignorance also. This is also the part of that.
The question was asked to inform
everybody. Yeah, it is good. So there is one particular text, Panchasutra, written by Acharya Tulsi, and he is saying that Ajnanam khalu kashtam krodhadi jyoti sarva papebhya. If somebody is ignorant, then it is more harmful than anger, than deceit. Kashai is very harmful, but the ignorance is more harmful than the. So, because he is knowing, not knowing, he will continue the same action and will suffer for that. He will never be able to break the chain. So, ignorance is the biggest cause.
That's okay,
yeah. Sorry, so I have taken 15 minutes almost more. Anything else? The ladies in? So should we finish? Now it is the time for worship. Our students will also join the worship. Yeah, the students are very receptive.